to episode 219 of Tall Boy Radio. And as we always say, who knows where he goes when the beer flows? Well, it's flowing back in time this week as we're taking a trip back to our school days. But before we do that, let's say hello to Gazza. How are you doing, pal?
Yeah, evening all, evening the world. Yeah, looking forward to this. I say it most weeks when we have some new guests, first-time guests, etc., etc. Really looking forward to where it's going to go. No doubt there'll be a couple of left turns along the way. And episode 219, we're higher than that in the Cambodian podcast chart. So let me just throw that out there.
I've breaking news. I've had an email this morning. We're out of the camera.
Oh, you're kidding me. I thought we were still in there. That one farmer that was listening to us every week, he's obviously stopped.
Bless him. Bless him. I don't know what it was that put him off, but don't let it put you off as well. Dave?
Evening. I do love these episodes when we go back to school because you guys generally make stuff up and then just say, I can't remember it, therefore it's true. That's going to be the theme, Rob. Peaky. Oh, just announced the guest. Sorry, I didn't say that. We don't normally do that.
No, we don't normally, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. But no, as Dave said, we're joined by a couple of old school pals. So without further ado, we should ask you all to stand and to welcome and to dock your caps and comb your eyes. Do you remember that, James? Always a pleasure. Never a chore. Taking us back to our school days. James, how are you doing?
I'm good, Adam. Congratulations on reaching 219 episodes. Wow. So what's that, 4 years?
Yeah, just over 4 years.
Yeah, just over. Yeah.
4 years of talking shite.
50 years of talking shite.
Why change a habit of a lifetime?
Absolutely. And Rob, how are you doing, pal?
Yeah, good, thank you. Although I suspect I'm going to fall into the same camp as Dave on this because my memory is pretty poor as well, to be honest. I can't remember what I did literally 5 minutes ago, let alone 20-30 years ago, I'm afraid.
You must remember some stuff though, Rob. Come on. There's got to be something back there.
Although the therapy's been good. It's sort of cleared a lot of it away.
Well, yeah, I tell you what though, and you say that, but I look back on my school days very, very fondly. Mine, because I've achieved very little since, but you know, actually I achieved nothing there, so I don't know why I'd look back on those days. But in all fairness, I think, you know, do you remember a time when people used to say to you, you know, gee whiz, are the best days of your lives, you'll miss those days? That's the first question, guys. Were they the best days of your lives, and do you miss those days?
I have to say, Ad, no, they weren't. No. Do I miss them? Not really. I've got to be honest. I met some great people at school, including you guys, but do I miss it? Absolutely not. They certainly weren't the best days of my life as far as I was concerned. Sorry to start on a negative.
I was going to say, Christ, we've got 57 minutes to go. And what are we going to do?
Oh, is it just me, Rob? Is it just me who looks back with teary eyes?
I've got kids now who are sort of 21, 19 and 15. So I've been through this as a parent with kids who've gone through GCSEs and A-levels. And so you can't help but think back and what your life was like when, you know, we were all at school, and particularly sixth form. I think it's a mixed bag. I think you look back and realise just how much time you actually had. You know, you didn't realize it when you were there, but you had a ton of time. Yes. And we just did stupid things that my kids will come and tell me half the stuff that they do. I'm sure they do a whole load of stuff that I don't know and probably don't wish to know about. But I sort of talk to them and reminisce and think about some of the stupid stuff that we did when we were at school. And it was crazy. So I don't know, you know, all this sort of parkour stuff that you can do now where you can legitimately run across public buildings, climb up onto the roofs, run across the roof. That's called parkour. When we did it, apparently that was illegal. And
when we did it, just pissing about.
I'm still pissing about now, I think.
But it is that. Look, was it great? I know there's no rose-tinted glasses on. There were times when it was just bloody awful, but there were times when you'd just be just do stupid stuff. I mean, when you've got kids who've been through it or going through it, you sort of do look back and go, crikey, some of the stuff we did was just lunacy.
Yeah.
But what I would say is, thank goodness there was no cameras on phones or anything like that to capture any of that stuff. Because pretty sure I would have the job I've got now if I hadn't found out half the stuff I'd done as a kid.
I definitely wouldn't have the job I've got now if that was around. I mean, I've got two daughters. One is away at uni, and the other one is in sick form and stuff. And they talk to me about the stuff that they've done, and I'm like, wow, like we did like so much stuff that was like a lot worse than that you're doing at the moment. And obviously you've got the iPhone generation where everything is on camera and everything is Instagram and this and that and that and that. And I'm so glad that we weren't in that generation. But you look back, you think, fucking hell, how did we get away with some of the stuff that we got away with? And genuinely, I don't know. And that's just a generational thing. But I'm a bit in Adam's camp. I look back with really fond memories. And I suppose more so sort of A-level, obviously getting to know you guys and sort of low down the school, didn't really know you that well. But sort of in the sixth form, just some of the stories. And as you said, Rob, the time that you spent with the people that you spent it with, You look back and think, God, I actually spent like quite a lot of my time with you guys. That was the thing,
and that's what I cherish so much. I think you probably hit the nail right on the head there. To be honest, Rob, it was time, and it was time to do with pretty much what you wanted. Even now, when you get a weekend to yourself, I've normally get handed a long list of jobs that I probably should have done the previous weekend as well. But that's by the by. But that's how it works. You know what I mean? Your time isn't your own. Your money isn't your own. You know, if you had 20 quid back in the day, gee whiz, that was a couple of nights out, that was, wasn't it? You know what I mean?
Or £1 and £18 in a fruit machine, depending on, what your particular buy score at the time,
That happened a bit.
And that hasn't changed either.
No, I was about to say. I think the reason why we relish it so much is we still haven't changed. And when Rob says about doing stupid stuff, well, spoiler alert, we still do.
And when you grow up, I don't think we have yet. So no, we definitely I still don't know what I want to do when I grow up.
No, we so were on about it. That.
Are you still push starting Dave's car then?
Was that BOV? BOV 48B. Was that the one we were push starting? Is that why? Is that right, Dave?
Probably more than once. I know because I don't remember it, but I know that Adam just told me about it multiple times. I snapped the aerial on my car.
If you've got that red ride, Gaz, that's an incredible memory you've got.
Well, to be fair, there was a couple of cars. There was BOV 48B, and then
B. Did you say V or B at the end, Gaz?
BOV
48B.
48B. B for Violet.
Yeah.
And then I had a Montego that was B683GRX.
Yeah.
And there's a photo of me and Adam on the bonnet, and it's like, honestly, they should send that into like Russia or something, because like it is indestructible, that car. Like what we put it through, that car. Yeah. I'm assuming it's still not going now because it was like back in the day. But it was absolutely back in the day, it's indestructible. So yeah, to be fair, yeah, the only reason I remember BOV48B was when we first got together with our band, we wrote a song, and I believe that BOV48B was in the lyrics somewhere. So
yeah, well, I actually designed a pair of Converse on the Converse website and nearly ordered them. They were 95 quid, so I decided to buy them. And they were yellow leather, and they had BOV48B written on the side, so they were designed to look like these old covets. Mad clicking there, what's that? Yeah, anyway. So yeah, but they all shove it. And yes, Dave, I did indeed break the license plate aerial by rolling across the bonnet Starsky & Hutch style.
Impressive.
I don't think you paid for it either.
No, I didn't. No.
Nothing changes.
I'll send the money to McGuinness's, that's where it is now.
So, Peaky, I'm just curious. You said, I'm sure there were some positive memories in this, that, and the other. So, what was it that, and I don't want to go too dark, but what was it that you felt as though it wasn't a good time for you, or was it something you were going through, like personally, or what was it?
No, I think it's just when I used to hang out with you guys, I was in the sixth form, and like I said, that can be a difficult period of time for any kid, can't it, really? You're on the cusp of an adult, of becoming an adult. But when I got to university, I realised that I was, compared to the other kids there, probably quite immature. Right. And, you know, you're in uni with kids who've been to private school, that kind of thing, who are all much, much more confident than you are, or much more worldly wise in some respects. And I think, I don't know, I just felt, after looking back, I thought I was a young 16, 17-year-old. I wasn't as old as, you know, I wasn't mature. And I think that probably affected my outlook a little bit. Now I can say it safely as well. I was bullied at school, not by you guys, but in the lower years, and that probably affected me a little bit as well. So years, not so much in terms of the people I met. That was fine, particularly as I got older at school. But I think, you know, in hindsight, they definitely weren't the best years of my life. But what I would say is, probably easier at school for us than it probably is for the kids today, where they've got the combined threat of climate change, viruses, nuclear war, and robots. So it's a question, what's going to get you first?
Yeah,
be one of that. So I'm glad, there's not many reasons to be glad to be 51, but the threats and I've not even mentioned social media and all the issues that throws out. If you combine all those things together, it's tough being a kid these days, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Most of them I know, I haven't got kids myself, but most of them I know seem to cope with it really well. But it's tough, I should think. Tougher than we had it.
Yeah. And I think there's a little bit more sort of scrutiny around with teenagers these days just because of the social media aspect.
I
think everybody's...
Like Rob said, everything gets filmed, doesn't it?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. And Rob hit the nail on the head. You know, we got away with so much stuff. And we think, Christ, if there was the scrutiny back then that there is now in terms of social media and people filming this, that, and the other, Christ almighty, we'd have been, well, expelled is the right word. But yeah, and more, Rob, I think.
They're never away from it, though, are they? Like, we could go to school, we walk home, and it's done. But they're, because of the social media, they're on it. It's 24/7 for them. They don't ever leave. You know, the kid's being bullied. It just extends, doesn't it? It goes into the social media feed. It's never, there's no getting away from it. It's just always going to follow them around. So I totally agree. It's a lot harder for them. And having had my kid go through it.
Right.
It's tough for them. Tough. Yeah.
It is, yeah. And, you know, back in the day, and obviously, you know, I'm sorry you had to go through that and experience that and stuff when you were at school, but, you know, when you came home, it possibly stopped, and it was only really at school where, Robbie, you hit the nail on the head there, you know, it happens at school, and then you come home, and then it carries on, and there's no escape from it. And it is tough these days. And, you know, for those of us that got kids, you know, I'm really thankful my you know, my kids have never really been bullied through school and have gone through school life, and it's been a positive experience for them. But, you know, the job that I'm in, I see the flip side to that. And there's lots of kids that I see that don't have a positive experience. So,
No, it's interesting that. And I guess, funny enough, this is the second episode when we've done one where we've looked back nostalgically at our school days. And we had Ken on at the time. Funnily enough, he shared a similar experience. I know my younger brother, he won't mind me saying that he went through an experience where, you know, he had some uncomfortable times at the treatment of others. And I don't know whether you find the same things, but, you know, I think certainly in my brother's case, he definitely feels like those sort of days gave him almost a bit of a foundation that he didn't appreciate back at the time, but he does now.
Is that Mark or John?
Mark, Christ, John's massive. You'd be mad to bully him.
No, I've seen Mark's social. Is he a school inspector or something like that now?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he is, yeah. Yeah, so... But the other thing you mentioned there as well, James, the things that will get you, and one of the things you didn't mention there, politicians. You know, my love for politicians. What we need is a good old bout of anarcho-pacifism, do you not think?
Could certainly do with one, mate, these days, more than ever, I would say there's a call for that.
I'm telling you.
There certainly needs people to try and promote peace.
Yeah.
Hard though it is.
Can I just say something? Rob definitely reacted to that. So Rob definitely has a story or two surrounding that.
It's funny, isn't it, how things can take you back in a second.
Absolutely.
I hadn't heard that phrase or remember that until you've just said it, and I went instantly, took me straight back to sixth form common room and printed them signs out. In a heartbeat.
It's amazing how, as you said, just like a phrase, a sentence, whatever, it's literally just you and you're back.
So I was reminiscing a few years ago, and Adam, I'll come to you on this, because I remember you had De La Soul's 3 Feet High and Rising album. I remember it very clearly. I remember listening to it at your house like a lunchtime when we probably should have been at school. But and they never re-released it ever again until literally about a year ago. And I'd always I saw it in a secondhand record shop. And it was a ridiculous price. It was like 75 quid or something stupid. So I thought, I'd seen it. It prompted a memory. I thought, right, I'm going to go in and see what the price is. Anyway, I ended up buying it. And I was really chuffed with myself until about 2 months later when they announced they were going to re-release the album. Like, if I waited a month, I could have had it for 20 quid.
If you want to buy it. And this was that very same one that we listened to back then. We'll come back to anarcho-pastorism in a little bit, but I do think as well, the town that we grew up now, this is where we definitely got one up on the kids, James, is the music that we listened to. Because I can remember Rob and I went to see Happy Mondays at Ellen Road. He had Stereo MCs, The Lars, North Sound, and all those on, like, on before it. And that was a belting day out, wasn't it?
When Sean Ryder finally turned up and was so out of his face, they had to put a backing tape on. We also went to see The Farm in Milton, I think it was. And I'd just passed my driving test. And I didn't really know the way home. And of course, SatNavs didn't exist. So I just followed a bloke who I thought was going to drive to the D road to then get back to Allsager. And then he pulled into his drive. And I was like, oh shit, where do I go from here?
I tell you what, they were, I'm not going to say it was the most memorable thing about the Happy Mondays gig was the guy who climbed up the lights. Can you remember the Ellen Road? The guy climbed up top. I think he phoned up the local radio station the next day to brag about his antics. But yeah, and I think Peaky, didn't we go see the Charlatans? Did I go see the Charlatans with you?
Don't think so. I had a slightly different musical taste, although I would have liked to have gone to Ellen Road to watch that gig. But no, don't think I went to the Charlatans with you, mate.
It's weird because back in the day, you look at Charlatans, Deep Dragons, Happy Monday, Stone Roses, and all of that, and that era of music reminds me of Ad and reminds me of Sick Pub, because that was the music of the time that we were there. And I was more of a sort of Queen, and Dave, to be fair, Dave back in the day got me into sort of Queen and stuff, so listened to Queen a lot. And it's Adam really that got me into that whole sort of indie vibe. And whenever I hear, as I say, you know, The Farm, Sea Dragons, any of those guys, it reminds me of Adam, and it reminds me of just Sick Form and being around you guys and just having fun and just being happy-go-lucky as such. Well, I can be winning at that point, but just like really good vibes and really good time. So it those sort of tunes, although I wasn't necessarily massively into music, I just remember that and associate that with that feeling quite contented in my life, if that makes sense.
There you go. Well, I thought when he started off saying I was a massive Queen, I thought, wow, I was feeling a bit fruity.
Like. A bit of a diva, but...
Well, anarcho-pacifism, so, like you say, I mean, in terms of politics nowadays, it's, for me, I'm not going to get too political, I'm not going to go down that route.
Really? Yeah.
No, I promise.
Are you
not,
sure?
I promise or not? Promise. I'll save that for when we do the election special.
Swingometer, is that not coming out tonight?
No, I have done a swingometer. Okay. I made a swingometer. But yeah, so in fact, that was our idea, if I remember correctly. There was a general election at the time, and we came up with the idea of doing one in the sixth form because so Rob, Dave, and myself all did politics. And we had this idea of having it. And I think, believe it or not, anarcho-pacifism in third. We came above the Tories, above the Labour Party. And I do think that maybe, if we get our campaign right, we could maybe make a quick, late dash for it.
I think you should give Putin a ring, mate, and see if you can persuade him of the merits. Now he's been re-elected.
Yeah.
In commas.
Yeah. Is this the original Putin, or is this like the cryogenically regenerated Putin that's going to be around for like 30 years in Russia or whatever? I mean, I don't know, but you talk about Dave being Dorian Gray and got a photo upstairs in his bedroom that ages and he doesn't. Putin's exactly the same. I mean, don't get me wrong, and I don't subscribe to this theory at all, but you go online, you see some various social media and you're talking about, like, you know, it's not him. It's like a body double, and his face has been like deep state sort of phased onto him or whatever. You're just like, come on, guys.
It could be, guys, but I'd say Botox does amazing things.
Well, I've never had it, so I don't know. You know, if it does that, yeah, if it works like that for Putin, then maybe it's the way forward. I don't know.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. With the anarcho-pacifist, didn't the Green Party win? And then was it the Liberals that came second, and then came third?
Yeah.
Yeah, but everybody forgets the Liberals. So actually, you know, you came second, basically, because nobody lost. There we go.
The Green Party don't count, so we basically came first.
Basically, you won, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I'm impressed that you remember that, Dave.
The Conservative and Labour is coming after us. I don't know if that was much to do with our policies as their policies. I mean, you weren't exactly the most popular then, were they?
Well, no. Well, I don't know. I think at that age, you're a little bit idealistic anyway, so I think that's why they did so well. And then, go on.
No. I'm just wondering when the peanut butter story is going to surface.
I'm telling you this, right? Okay. You know, that was paramount to bullying. That was. I didn't want to do that. That was Mrs. Davies made me do it. Like,
good job.
I didn't want to do it.
Whatever.
No, I didn't. That was,
do you want to tell a story, or shall I tell a story?
I'll let you tell your version of events.
So my version of events, like, to raise awareness of the anarcho-pacifist, Adam decided he was going to do like a world record attempt to eat the most amount of peanut butter in a specific amount of time. And we got the common room in the sixth form. I don't know whether you remember this, guys, but we got the common room full. Adam's at the front. And we gave him the big countdown, and he was going to eat this big tub of peanut butter within the space of like a minute or whatever it was. And we're like, 3, 2, 1, go! And he took a spoon, put it in his mouth, and then spent 30, 40, 50 seconds trying to get rid of the first spoonful. And we're like, really, dude, is that all you've got? And then gave a spoon to like a year 7 lad that was sitting in the front row or something, who then took like one mouthful, tried to swallow it, and then spewed all over the place. That's my recollection.
He was sick in the nursing room after that, and it serves him right for showing off, frankly. But I'll tell you this, I didn't want to do that. So it was actually after the anarcho-pacifist thing, so that result had already been decided. But it was building the bulletin that went out to the school.
Right.
The anarcho-pacifist candidate was going to be breaking a world record for eating a jar of peanut butter the quickest. Now, I didn't want to do it. I remember suggesting it. Mr. Davies said, right, you can do it. And I said, no, I'm not doing it. I don't want to do it. But yet, it was my name that was put forward.
Yeah.
And I remember saying to Dave in politics before, dude, I'm not up for this. I can't do this. I love peanut butter. I can't now, because that's because of my love of peanut butter and high cholesterol. I've got an intolerance, so I can't eat the stuff anymore, which is a shame. And it was really because I ate far too much that arose. Maybe Mrs. Davies is to blame if we were to track that, maybe try and get a legal case. If we only had a lawyer on the podcast, we'd make the case for us.
Do you know a good lawyer? Is there one here?
I don't know any good lawyers. I suspect you're out of town.
We don't need ones.
But no, yeah. So thank you for bringing up that.
That's
that,
okay.
A painful moment for yeah. me. No, the thing is, you know, I wasn't someone who ever craved attention, although I was a bit of a class clown. Still am a little bit. And that was not me. Still, I have never. The idea, I think if I ever had to stand up and speak in school, dude, I would be shaking like a chicken.
Yeah, I know you, yeah. And I know that wasn't you.
Yeah. And then I had to stand there and do that. Literally, I felt my mouth dry up. I thought I was going to poop before the peanut butter went in. Do you guys remember that?
You say, I have a vague memory of it, but I was just about to say, you say you didn't want the attention, but didn't you also be the sort of front of the video we made as well?
Yeah, but that was something different. But again, though, funnily enough, okay, so the reason we did the video was because we did a debate and everybody had to stand up and talk and they never got around to me, which I was quite happy about. So I said, I'll do a video afterwards so that we could record the video. So I think it was me, you and Rob that filmed it. And Peaky definitely helps as well. I can remember that because you asked me to sing a few choruses for Magic Moments on it. I don't know if you remember that. I still have the video in my garage.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. I'll see if I can get that on YouTube. But yeah, so we created that video because of my uncomfortable standing up and speaking in a public forum. That's how it came about. And I have to say, I have never seen Rob so utterly frustrated in all the years that I knew him trying to get us to say a few simple lines because it was about 3 hours worth of video to say about 4 minutes.
Didn't you end up reading from a card, but because you couldn't stop laughing or because Rob was getting annoyed at you looking down, you pulled a hat down over your eyes like this?
Yeah. Yeah.
Rob, surely you remember that.
No, I don't. I don't think I've ever been frustrated in my life at all. Definitely not something I recognise.
I am frustrated.
Yeah, and will possibly remain so. But I was just going to ask, sort of, Rob Peake, yeah, I'd maybe come to Rob first. So, you know, you look at school and you think there must be a memory, and without either naming and shaming teachers and this, so there must be like a favourite teacher, a favourite memory, and we don't want to oust anybody for being this, that, and the other. But you know, was there an abiding memory in terms of either a class or a teacher? Well, please don't, you know, be really critical and name anybody, but what, you know, was there a moment that was a standout? Or
what guys are saying is, who's your favorite teacher and why was it Miss Woodcock?
Yeah, that is an abiding memory.
Why did I just say that?
My maths for a year was terrible. It was, I needed so much assistance. That I do remember. to answer your question, with Miss Woodcock, you've taken me in a completely different
direction. I told you to be left turn along the way.
I might have to have a quiet walk somewhere. One was, nobody in my family had been to, nobody been to any of our own university. And so I do from sixth form. I think it was Miss Davis who actually filled in my UCAS form to suggest I go off to university. And because I was lazy and didn't want to get a job, I did. I'd never would have done that on my own. So there's that. Now that's a positive. The negative, and I won't name the teacher, but I'm colorblind. And in science, you know, you used to get those dots where you could see the numbers. And they started off, I could see them, maybe like 23 or 47 or something. Yeah. And then they progressively get harder. And as I'm colorblind, I can't see it. So I get pulled to the front of the class. This was in GCSEs. And be asked to know it, knowing damn well that I couldn't see what the numbers were. And of course, they're only about that big, aren't they?
Yeah.
So when it got to the ones I couldn't see, I'd say something like, is it 64,725,258? And more than one occasion, I got sent out of the science class. And if you remember the science block, it was, from memory, it's like a sort of hexagonal with doors.
Yeah, yeah. But and there was like an entrance at the top, but then there was around the main entrance, you walked into it.
Yeah, so I'd be stood there just peering into all these other science lessons, whilst I was stood outside having been kicked out for being
facetious.
That still hasn't changed, by the way. only now I'd have to stand outside.
Peaky, what about yourself then?
Two from me, mate. Both positive sort of stories. My favourite teacher was always Mrs. Richards. I don't know if ever any of you used to have a for English.
English always, Mrs. Richards, yeah.
Yeah, always loved English was always my favourite teacher, and Mrs. Richards really kind of inspired my love of the English language. It's always been something, you know, I've always loved books, always read loads of books. Don't have enough time these days to read as many as I would like, but she was always my favourite teacher, certainly in fifth year and sixth form. Story, obviously we've all got stories about Dougie Barnett, I would guess, but my personal story was being on holiday in Anglesey. I think he taught my brother at a couple of stages as well. We were walking in a field in Anglesey, and who should be trotting the other way but Dougie Barnett? And he that thing where I don't know if you remember it, where he'd just look at you and his head would just go up and down with a smirk on his face. Do you remember that look? And he never said anything to me. He obviously knew, these are two of my pupils. He just stopped, sort of nodded up and down, smirked, and then carried on his merry way. And that made my brother and I's holiday that did basically see Barnett there in those circumstances.
Amazing. Dave, what about yourself? There must be a couple of sort of decent sort of positive memories, either a good one or a bad one. Come on, throw it out there, kiddo.
I suppose if we're naming teachers that were positive, I can't remember hardly any. I remember Mrs. Gunter, but that's more recent of all the teachers. I thought she was brilliant, and that's probably why I remember her. And then the other one was,
obviously memorable, Dave.
Mr. Plant, because he is the one that was head of sixth form at the time, and I being crap at exams, didn't get four C's and above to get into sixth form. I had to go with him to have a meeting with whoever was the head at the time, and convince them that I would retake it, I would pass my English language, and I would do well at A levels. And because of him backing me, I got into the A levels, which I guess was a good thing. I mean, I scraped through and got three E's. I don't think I did him proud, but at least I passed them all, which is something, isn't it, Adam? Gaz?
You tell me.
I've no idea, Dave. what was it like?
It didn't help a great deal.
No. I'll say this story now before we get back to teach. So when we walked up to pick our A level results, me and Gaz were walking. Basically, we did jack shit work.
Full stop.
So we didn't bother revising or anything like that. So we walked up. And we were on the way up there, and Gaz said to me, "He goes, I was lying in bed last night, and I'm thinking maybe I fluked it, and I might have passed them." I said, I thought exactly the same thing, mate. We fucked it. They're gone. Don't worry about it. Then Dave came around the corner and said, "Have you gone, Dave?" And he says, "I've got three E's. I'm moving a moonlight." And then Gaz goes, "Well, there's a chance for this."
Yeah, and there wasn't.
Oh, there wasn't. No, just for the record.
Just for the record. Yeah, that didn't happen.
I mean, I didn't know about that, but it's nice to know even back then you had such a low opinion of me.
Although, there was myself and Adam who went to collect our A-level results, and we got back to Adam's house. and I've told the story on a couple of podcasts before, but we got back to Adam's house, and sort of Big Tone was there, and he goes, "How have you got on?" Talking to me, and I was shit scared of Big Tone back then. I was literally like, he could knock me out. Like, and I was like, didn't do that well. He went, "Well, did you pass?" I was like, "No." And then he went, "Well, what about you?" To Adam, and he goes, "No." He says, "Well, did you pass?" "No." And he goes, "So what are you doing?" He says, I'm assuming that you're going to be going down the job centre looking for some jobs. And at which point Adam says, "No, We're thinking of fishing. Oh, by the way, can you give us a lift?
Yeah, he didn't, for the record.
Yeah, he didn't like that, and he didn't give us a lift. So, yeah, that was a funny story. I suppose growing up, so GCSE and A level, I loved Mr. Clark. I was obviously dead sporty. Mr. Clark was, he played table tennis and I played a lot of tennis. So Mr. Clark for me was, I really, really, really got on with the guy. There was a teacher who has been mentioned already. And I got into an A level subject. And unfortunately, in that A level subject, in the first lesson of the first week, he spelt the name of the subject wrong, which didn't fill me with too much confidence that I would actually then progress to actually pass that subject. And I'm not going to mention any names, but yeah, it wasn't great that he did that.
I thought you were going to blame him then for it.
Well.
But then, speaking of Mrs. Gunter, you've been in contact with her, haven't you, relatively recently, Dave?
Yeah, recently, I don't know, last year, was it? You have to remind me. It was clarifying some facts, wasn't it? I can't remember.
Was it for a podcast? Then
you accused me of some falsehood. One of you did. I can't remember.
Not me.
I think it was me.
Correct.
Yeah, I forget the outcome.
Yeah,
no, I suspect because Adam forgot the outcome, Dave was right and Adam was wrong. But I actually remember what
it
was.
It was some falsehood by Adam against me. I can't remember what it was now. Oh, was it about what Thatcher when she resigned and whether she came into the room and told us or we already knew or something?
Yeah, you told us in economics, I'm sure of it, although you just...
Yeah, so I decided to track down Mrs. Gunter 32 years later and ask her the question, and she backed up my version of the events. So there we go.
Well, my most memorable teacher, like everybody's, was Dougie Barnett, because he was such a character.
Yeah.
And funnily enough, actually, years later, it transpired that he was a very good friend of my father-in-law. We'd grown up like together in Warrington. Yeah, they were all whereabouts that place in Warrington. Yeah, and they'd grown up to be our childhood friends, which was utterly, utterly bizarre. But I tell you, someone else who we've had on the podcast who was at school with us, a chap by the name of Richard Pollard, who's obviously now a minister, and he's called Peggy. And he was helping people who've been on drugs in Gaspar Street. And he brought a guy, you know, on that podcast.
Yeah, I was, yeah.
And he brought a guy on who we'd rescued, who'd had problems with a drug addiction. And it was a great story, and it was great to hear. And one of the things we got to ask him about was that very memorable speech that he gave in the common room. Do you guys remember that?
Yeah, I do.
The only thing I can remember about him was he took about 15 attempts to pass his driving test. He still, I think, holds a record of everyone I've ever met for the most number of driving tests it took for him to pass. It was well in double figures, and you've never seen anyone celebrate when he passed like he did. He went absolutely mad. But sorry, I'll just go back to the speech, Arthur. I don't remember the speech.
I was going to say, so he celebrated passing his 15th driving test like Stoke celebrates scoring a goal. Is that how it is?
There's no need for that, Gary.
Oh, because he passed. Oh, okay. Rob, I'm going to come to you because obviously you sort of laughed and sort of nodded your head and stuff. So do you want to tell our listeners about your sort of memories of that?
Yeah, if I'm recalling it correctly, which is questionable, but yeah, I do remember he sort of get up a talk and just talked about some things that sort of had happened to him in his life and how he sort of had overcome them and sort of where it had taken him in terms of, you know, his thoughts, his processes and things. And it was just something that I don't recall anybody ever sort of doing. My starkest memory of it is thinking that it was a really brave thing to do, ridiculously brave. When you're that age, and we were immature, still immature, but to do that and stand up and with such conviction Yeah, it was just really brave. So it's not a sort of funny memory. It was just a memory of just seeing somebody do something that, you know, 100% conviction behind it and thinking, crikey, that's, you know, got some balls to do that, quite frankly.
Yeah, and that's exactly how I remember it as well, to be honest, Rob. It took a hell of a lot of gumption just to stand up there and say the things. We're very much different. What he spoke about is, you know, his, like, his best friend, girl called Kay Adams. I don't remember if you remember her. He appeared on Blockbusters on one occasion.
She has.
And yeah, so he's brave enough to talk about all that kind of stuff. And you know, when we had him on the podcast, God bless him, we discussed it again. And he talked about, you know, and that's where he found faith. And, you know, he literally got to the point where he felt at his lowest, and he just felt like in constant pain and trouble. And he just asked, you know, someone, I forget who it was, someone else at school said to him about, but, you know, maybe asking Jesus for help. And he just asked Jesus to take the pain away. And after that, yeah, he was fine. And that is where he dedicated his life to religion.
I remember the podcast. I can't remember who it was that he said that he'd spoken to. But I remember the podcast. And I remember thinking, like from somebody that's had such a negative experience to then turning your philosophy and your outlook around to then being in a position where you can then help others with, like, in a way, so uplifting. And I remember him coming on and it's like, wow, and you're doing all this work with homeless people and people that are struggling in their life. And it's just an amazing story, really. And it's an amazing podcast. And I remember, thinking, wow, that's so different than possibly your memory of what your was like. And now what you're doing is you're now helping people who potentially are in the same struggles or worse struggles than you. And you're now in a position to help them. It was, well, and I remember being on the podcast. It was amazing. It was an amazing story.
It was, and it was amazing at the time as well. Do you remember it, Dave? Stupid question.
No, I don't even remember what you're talking about, to be honest. I don't think I was on the podcast, really.
No, you weren't on that one. To be fair. But I just wondered if you remember back there. Because, like I say, it was quite a passionate speech that you gave, to be fair.
Was I there?
I believe so.
I think so.
In fact, I know for a fact you were, because I believe I was on it.
I'm just another story, and I'm not sure whether or not Peaky or Rob, you were there, but I remember there was a PE teacher, and I'm assuming, you know, it's a guy called Medwin Jones, who I love Medwin Jones, and he was an amazing person. And I remember, and we were in a PE lesson, and back in the day, boxing was on the curriculum, and everybody used to box, and you used to tear up, and everybody used to look for me, because I was like the weakest, piss poor boxer in the group, or whatever, you know, everybody's, I'll box with him, and, you know, and it's just like, and they used to shadow box in this, and I remember a story about Medwin, who must have got wind of this lad who'd bullied another student, and I'm not going to mention any names yet, but, and he'd mentioned the story about he'd picked up that this lad had you know, he'd been saying some not very nice things. Right, lads, let's all glove up. And we were like, oh shit, what's going on now? Okay. So we all went in a circle, and he goes, points to this lad, he goes, right, put some gloves on. And this lad goes, who am I boxing with? And Medwin goes, well, oh, me. And he was obviously a Welsh guy. He's like, me. And he's like, all right, okay. That was Irish, by the way. And everybody's like, oh my god, all right, okay. Well, this isn't going to end well. And back in the day, obviously Medwin boxed for the army, and most people knew that. And when he was in the forces, he obviously went into later. And I just remember this lad thinking he was like the bee's knees, and he was pretty handy, and he was quite a hard lad, and he'd been giving this a little bit more time. And, yeah, to cut a long story short, Medwin put him on his ass and give him a couple of pretty decent clips and stuff. And then as this lad was half comatose, and back in the day you could get away with this, obviously, but, you know, he half picked him, you won't do that again, will you, sunshine, sort of thing. And I was like, no, I promise, sort of thing. And for me, that's like a massive abiding memory of hate Medwin Jones, and I love Medwin. He's such a great guy, and you felt as though he was somebody that genuinely cared about, you know, the kids in his care and support. That was just a memory that I had from school, and it's amazing.
I remember, guys, you used to sit everyone in there, like make everyone sit around, so it was like a ring, didn't he?
Yes, it was. It was
and just think, the kid, you'd never get away with that now, would you? With
no,
the
safety, except no.
We didn't have head guards on.
No, nothing.
I remember I had to box. I don't know. It might have been Steve Marshall actually who took this lesson, but I had to box against Andy Whittaker, who was much bigger, much stronger than me, and we were kind of mates, so he didn't really want to hit me. But then I sort of made a bit of a show of making it a boxing match, and he just sparked me.
And really?
It just wouldn't happen at school now, would it? You'd have the pants sued off you.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine nowadays? I mean, obviously nowadays, generation, but back in the day, literally, it's like glove up. And you, as you said, Peaky, you just sit around in a circle.
Yeah.
And then he would literally point at two people and go, you and you.
Yeah.
You'd be like, oh, okay. And you go into the middle and you'd be like, come on, put them up, sort of thing. But this one time, he just went, come up. And this guy goes like, oh, who am I fighting? He went, oh, me. And it was like, oh, shit, this isn't going around well. And obviously this lad, I won't say his name, this lad was like, Ace, I get to spark out a teacher. This is fucking mint. But nah. The teacher knew, and literally, because obviously Medwin boxed the army this day, and literally boxed him out, and literally as he's picking him up, he's like, it's just amazing. And I just remember it as though it was like yesterday.
Well, I tell you, it wasn't me, but I did box against Medwin Jones. I'm not saying I boxed against. He gave me a twacking on one occasion. I'm pretty sure he pulled his punches.
Oh, he would have done, yeah. Yeah.
Gee whiz, I tell you what it is. I've never been punched in the face so hard in my whole life.
I can't remember doing boxing at school at all.
Oh, honestly, Dave, literally.
I don't know why your memory's so bad.
Must have been a week you had a sick note, Dave.
Like you said, there was no head guard or anything. You just literally put some gloves on, and then it was like you got paired up and somebody just punched you in the face, and it was like brilliant. Yeah.
Wait, when you say it like that, sounds so wrong.
Yeah, it was in many ways.
But back in the day, it seemed so right, maybe. I don't know.
Generation X, just a little bit better than the rest of them, aren't we?
Do you genuinely not remember that, Dave?
Not at all, no. I can't remember doing boxing at school, no. I can't even remember other people. Well, I can't remember much anyway. I mean, the things I've talked about tonight, they're probably less memories and more just the things that between the three of us we've mentioned every now and again the past 30 years. So it's not a memory going back. Like the things you've asked me about, things that happened that we haven't talked about, I've no idea at all. I only remember those because we've mentioned them, but no, boxing, no.
Do you remember the time you got yourself locked in that room after the door under got broken?
Yes, I do.
No, I don't, but you did mention this a while ago and I still can't remember it.
You don't remember that?
Oh, dude, one of the funniest things I've ever... Yeah.
It was a moment of pure jeopardy, to be honest with you. So the door handle had broken off and the prop... Again, you know, you probably wouldn't see this again in this generation. I dropped the door open with a table. And you were over the other side of the room, and I kicked the table so the door just closed slowly. And you were this close to getting there. Then there was that dawning realization. Yeah, it was a funny idea, except now he is actually genuinely trapped. No means of getting out. We're on the top floor,
and there was no genuine means of getting out. And we were like, oh, shit, we're gonna have to like call like the janitor or whoever it was back in the day. And then I think it was Mr. Austin who was like a assistant head or deputy head or something back in the day. And he goes, oh, I've got a lesson in it. And Dave stuck in the room. And he said, I've got a lesson in here. And Dave didn't know that Mr. Austin was right there. So the caretaker he opened the door. And Dave, without realizing that Mr. Austin's there, come out and launched into this like four-letter like parade at all of us. Like, you're a fucking bunch of fucking... And literally, like, Mr. Austin was standing like, and I mean, like a yard away from him. Bill Dave Bent was like, I like looked at him to the side. Me and Adam were off camera, just like pissing ourselves. It's just like an amazing memory. Amazing memory.
Means nothing to me.
That's probably for the best, you know. Just out of interest, you guys, is there anybody else, you know, myself and Gaz and Dave are lucky enough to be, still in relatively speaking terms. Is there anybody else that you guys keep in contact with from school?
Most of the people I'm in contact with are from a couple of years younger than
right.
I am. So my brother and all his mates who I grew up with on the same estate.
Yeah.
The estate that you two live on now, basically.
Yeah.
I'm still in touch with them, meet them regularly, go out on holiday with them sometimes. But from people from our year, I don't think since Rich passed away, not in touch with anyone that I can immediately think of.
Wow. Rob, what about yourself?
No, I'm not allowed friends. So my wife is and still has her friends from, like, you know, primary school up. And they still see each other regularly, and they're now our friends, so we still go out quite regularly. So she has her friends. I'm not allowed any others.
we see Andy Witt around because of your hip hops and stuff now in the village, and he's a couple of bars and stuff around. So still see Andy Witt. When were we out? Saturday, he was in there Saturday, wasn't he? So.
Yeah, he was Saturday. We put a bunch of John Stanley on Saturday as well, didn't we?
Yeah, John Stanley. So he goes into the lodge quite a bit.
Is that Andy Whittaker who used to play in the football team?
Yes, yeah.
So we played in the same Sunday league team as well.
Right.
And we played like a crew representative. Yeah, something like that. And when we were 17, we went on a tour to Fulda in Germany, which was when right. we still had East and West Germany. And he came along to that. We were 17, and they just didn't give a shit in Germany. They just like, you could do whatever you liked. So we had two games. And for both of the games, the 17-year-old lads let loose in Germany.
Right,
with no supervision. We just everybody just got hammered. It was hilarious. And we played two games. First game we got battered 4-0. And then the second game we played this team that was made up of, like, I suppose academy kids now from like Frankfurt and places like that. So they were like the absolute bee's knees.
Yeah.
And we battered them 4-0. I think Andy might have scored actually in that game. And I remember it because we played at like a proper stadium with proper changing rooms, which the 17-year-olds was great. And even though none of us could speak German, there was the coach in the changing room next to us was like bollocking them so much for losing to a bunch of Italy's teenagers. It was ridiculous. Yeah.
Brilliant. It probably wasn't because I know what sort of, you know, he was a decent footballer back in the day, and he played school teams and this and that, and definitely played for school, and probably would have played representative or local football or whatever. So it definitely would have been the same guy. But yeah, he owns Hip Hops in Alsager and the one, yeah, Trentham Craft Beer at Trentham Garden. So yeah, he owns those two. But we went out, myself and Ad. We went out over the weekend, and he was in there. So yeah, Andy Witt, that's in last in the past.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, is there anybody else when you think back to your school days? You think, do you know what? I wouldn't mind just catching them one more time.
We're back to Mrs. Woodcock again, aren't we?
You dirty old dog.
Or brilliantly, because she got married, she went from Miss Woodcock to Mrs. Catchpole.
Yes, she did.
I know.
He was the environmental science teacher, whatever he was back in the day.
He looked like a geek Tom Kellogg. He was the best girl in the world, but I don't know. Yeah.
Maybe it tickled.
Fuck yeah.
yeah.
throwing in, I'm sure. I tell you, there's one dude I'd like to catch up with him. He wasn't so much a stick form. Do you remember a guy called Matt Dolby from the lower?
Yes, I do.
He disappeared off the face of the earth after school. I'd love to know what happened to him.
Come on, Peaky.
I'm trying to think, actually, Gaz. Can't immediately think of anyone that I've lost touch with that I would have desperately want to see again, I have to admit. Richard Pollard would have been a good one, actually, but you've informed me as to what he's doing. He was always a character.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he still is. Yeah.
Come on, Rob, what about yourself, then? Somebody that, you know, maybe the odd name we've thrown around, or somebody, you know, I'd love to know what they were doing, or...
Yeah, there's a couple of guys who I... Because I played a lot of football, so there's the... Do you remember Paul Greatbatch?
Paul Greatbatch, and it's weird because I mentioned to Ad about he would be one that I would say I'd love to know what he's up to now. And this,
I can tell you, he's an armed response officer in Devon.
Is that right?
Is he?
Married, two kids.
Has
that one answered them, Rob?
I remember he drove us. His dad had a white Sierra, and because I live around the corner from him, so we'd often get a lift into sixth form.
Yeah,
and he drove us to Blackpool. We went to Blackpool for one night, nightclub, and then we drove back. It's like,
wow,
drove all the way to Blackpool for one night at a nightclub and then back again. It was
impressive.
Yeah, I've been to Blackpool. It's not really worth it. No, it's one night. It's probably too long.
You see Poe. So there was Paul Greatbatch, and there was a guy called Matt, so Matthew or Matt Wakeling, who was Poe's mate. Yeah. So you got Matt Wakeling and Poe.
Yeah,
And I'd be massively curious to know what those guys are, because I spent quite a bit of time with them in and around sort of sixth form and stuff. So I'd be curious to know. But yeah, Paul Greatbatch, absolutely, Bob. Yeah, that's a shout. Definitely. Yeah,
well, Dave will tell you what.
Matt Stalker Wade. Dave.
Yeah, what's he up to?
I'm not a stalker. I've been in touch with him. We went and stayed with him actually once. We lived in Barnstable, or did live in Barnstable, where I haven't seen him for a few years.
Is this Matt Wakeley you're on about?
No, Paul.
Oh, Paul Greatbatch. Okay.
Yeah, Matt, I have no idea.
You remember Matt, though, don't you?
Yeah, I used to hang out for a period of time. ZX81 he used to have.
Right.
So it was either him or ZX81 I was hanging out with.
So the ZX81 then, yeah. Right.
Was it definitely a ZX81, not a ZX Spectrum?
Oh, I don't know. I remember it was a small flat one with rubber keys.
That was the Spectrum.
Yeah, definitely 100%. Yeah. It's weird, isn't it? Because, you know, Peaky and Rob, you know, there's a couple of guys that we've mentioned, and we all remember the people that we mentioned, and different people will have different memories or associations with the, you know, Poe or Matt or Rich Pollard, whoever it may be. So, Peaky, I'm just curious, you know, and we sort of touched on it, you know, we're getting up to about the hour mark, and we know we wrap up about an hour mark. So I want to end on a positive. What? And I know you said maybe you struggled a little bit, but what's your one really, really, really abiding memory that make you smile, if there was one?
Oh, God. School days.
And there might not be one, and that's okay. But if there was one, what might
tell you,
be?
No, I'll make a general point, guys, if I can.
Yeah, of course you can, mate. Yeah.
Since I've lived away from Allsager, Allsager's got a fantastic community spirit, which it's never been replicated. I live in North Wales these days, and where I live, there's no community spirit. Not like there is in Allsager.
Really?
And I've lived in Chester as well. Okay, that's a city. You wouldn't expect it to have the same community spirit, but it certainly doesn't have. So as a town, I would say Allsager is unmatched on that basis, in my experience. And the people do look out for each other. and it, yeah, and it does have a community spirit. And the very fact that we've got together to speak in this way kind of suggests that a little bit. You know, all these years we've not been at school together for more than 30 years, yet we can still go back. And every person you've mentioned tonight, I remember.
Yeah,
you know, there's nobody that anyone's mentioned. I thought, don't know who that is. We all remember who they are, and that's definitely a positive note for me to finish on.
Brilliant. Rob, what about yourself?
Yeah, I'd struggle to beat that. I think I echo that. My dad still lives in Allsager, so I come across from time to time to see him, and everything you've just said, I absolutely agree with, and I see that, you know, he's quite old now, and I see that in where he lives, you still have that sense of community, people looking out for one another. I think, you know, Allsager, I've lived in various places, but I'd agree with that, Allsager has that community spirit, and it's, you know, it's something that is to be, you know, cherished, and it's only when you go away that you realise what that is. I think in terms of school days, I think it was just, it was a period of time when you could just laugh. And yeah, we've mentioned this before on this, that you didn't have to take things too seriously. You didn't live in a world where you're under pressure. Yeah, you know, get results or whatever, but there was nowhere near the pressure that our kids are under. So it didn't matter. And you could just laugh and piss about. And it's the one period in my life where I took absolutely nothing serious at all. And just literally every day, not every day, but you know, rose tinted glasses. But every day was a laugh, certainly in sixth form. It was just messing about and occasionally having to do a bit of work. It was fun times when, before all the responsibilities of life, mortgage and everything else took over, and you know, life hit you in between the eyes and you forgot to have fun.
It's funny when you say about, like, you know, yeah, life didn't really seem to have any consequences back then. My mum cleared out her attic years ago, and she gave me all my old school reports. Now, I remember getting those reports the first time round, pissing myself laughing at all the horrible stuff that the teacher was written about. What on it? Oh, he's got loads of ability, but he's a complete idiot, basically. and I thought at the time that was hilarious. And then I read them, like, you know, maybe in my 40s. Wow, that stings a bit. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah, I'm not saying I ever could have made anything myself, but, you know, well, I couldn't.
Look, I think, you know, I'm being a little presumptuous now. I'm hopeful that we've all made a decent sort of fist of life, and we're where we sort of want to be, and we've got family and kids and this and the other, and if we haven't, and that's, you know, and so be it. But it's just back in the day,
Jerry Springer.
I find a thought and all that. But, you know, I look back at the time I had it at school, and really, really, really fun memories, right? Really fond memories. And I remember the people that we mentioned, you know, PP and Rob, and obviously Dave, you know, man, Dave, I've mentioned him looking too long, but, you know, like nursery, primary school, secondary school, sixth form, and still now, you know, so just really positive, fun memories. And sixth form was a time where, you know, I just didn't give a shit. I just generally just didn't give a shit. And I just turned up every day, and I really wish I gave a shit a bit more. But, you know, I am where I am now, and I am, and I'm in the job I'm in, and I wouldn't change it for a minute. But
I think the lesson you'd give your kids, guys, if they were, they're obviously late teens from what you said, or
yeah.
is actually, what you do at school probably doesn't matter that much. Once you go into your first job, whatever you do in that job counts. Whatever your qualifications are doesn't count for anything. So you still make your way, provided you perform when you're in work.
Yeah.
So basically, you can piss around when you're at school.
Yeah.
As we did.
Yeah. Well, my kid's 7 and 5, so I probably won't give him that speech just yet.
Yeah, wait a little bit. Leave it.
Yeah, just give him a bit. Yeah, yeah. JJ would be like,
Yeah, my son, quite often listens to this. So, Albert, if you are listening, just James. He's an idiot. Don't listen to him.
Ignore everything he said. Concentrate at school.
I tell you, he does often listen to this as well. Really message. We'll say hello tonight. I don't know if he's watching tonight or if we're looking on the audio after. Joe McConnell, he often listens back to the podcast, so we'll say hello, Joe, if you are indeed watching this. What kind of question for me? How many times have you used a tractor or a compass that I've interested
in? I've probably used one a few times, but that's only with helping the kids with homework. I don't think I've ever used it in work.
Definitely, Rob, you've definitely not used it, have you?
I don't even know what you're talking about.
No, well, as Gaz trailed it then, we always wrap it up round about the hour mark. We'll apologise for some issues with the audio tonight. I don't know if we'll be able to iron those out when we release the audio episode. We shall see. You might have some of the clip that you've had. But, Rob, did you want to say your goodbyes to our listeners and leave us with your Jerry Springer's final thought?
Hey, it's been 30 years, whatever it is, since we all connected. This has been great. I've really enjoyed it. Catching up with you guys, reminiscing. I will go and have that walk while I think about Miss Woodcock. But it's been great to see you guys. It really has.
Indeed, James.
Yeah, call me on episode 438, mate, and I'll call if we're still going. I did enjoy it.
Oh, we will be.
We will be.
I like that, James. It's basically, I enjoyed it, but they give it another 4 years.
Yeah, 4 years and 20 weeks or something like that. But no, it's good. It's gone. The hour's flown by.
It has. And so has the last 33 years, which is about when we finished our sitcom 33 years ago.
Let's hope we're all here in 33 years' time.
Yeah, let's
Big ask.
We will.
We'll try. Be positive.
We'll try our best. Dave?
It's been good to talk to you guys. And apart from James, who clearly doesn't want to see us again anytime soon, if you are over this way, it'd be good to meet up and chew the fire.
Well, I'm over there. My parents live over the road from Adam Gary, yeah. So I could probably call in at some point if you need me.
Yeah, do.
Well, and Rob, if your dad's still is around, if we can find a time when we can all grab a beer or something for a couple of hours.
Yeah, I'll check my social calendar with my wife. She tells you what I can and can't do.
All right, then, don't bother.
I'll definitely be over and I'll give you guys a shout.
Yeah, do. It'd be great to see you guys in the flesh. You really would. Just have a beer and just reminisce and mention some names that we probably shouldn't mention on a podcast.
I echo that. As Rob said, it's been 30 plus years, whatever, since we've all got together and we mentioned it right at the start. You know, get the band back together. But it'd be nice if we can share a beer or two. And next time you guys are over, we'll just meet up and we'll hook up and a couple of beers and just reminisce. And as Adam said, maybe tell the odd story or two that possibly isn't suitable for a podcast. And I know that I've definitely got a couple of stories about a couple of teachers, but that's not for a podcast, but for another time. So, look, guys, appreciate your time. Rob, Peaky, it's been amazing just catching up, hooking up. Look forward to the next time. And
cheers.
Hopefully, in person, we can grab a beer or two.
Cheers.
Definitely. Cheers. Yes. That just leaves it for me to wrap it up and say thank you for listening. Apologies for some issues with the sound tonight, but thank you for joining us. It's been a real treat for me to catch up with you guys. Like I say, 33 years have gone by in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
And let's not make it 33 years till we catch up. But to all our listeners, we'll wish you a fond farewell. And thanks for listening.